This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Good evening and welcome to the Nutters Club, a mental health issues based show that talks about that very topic for 2 hours on a Sunday night and a Monday morning. My name's Hamish Coleman-Ross, and joining me tonight in the other seat opposite me is Kyle McDonald, our resident clinical psychotherapist. Good evening, Kyle.
Kia ora.
Now, Kyle has had a very interesting day, listeners. He's just winged his way back up from Wellington, where he was standing on Parliament grounds today with 606 pairs of shoes. Of course, we've talked about this on the show before. The 606 shoes represent the number of people who lost their lives due to suicide in the last year. And it's a very sobering vision to see. But you might not want to get too depressed on this if you're hearing it for the first time, because today there was a little ray of sunshine, a little ray of hope. Now,
Stardust even.
Perhaps a little bit of stardust in our eyes. The leader of the Labour Party, Jacinda Ardern, made a very firm commitment on the steps of New Zealand's Parliament that should she be elected and should they form a Labour-led government, that they will commit to having a target of zero for New Zealand suicide, and they will, in their first 100 days, enact a mental health system review. Kyle was there. Kyle, what was the mood from the crowd when they went there? Because people didn't go there expecting this today, did they?
No, they didn't. I think people were... I know Simon's talked on the show a couple of weeks ago. I know a few of the people who've been
involved. This is Simon Oosterman, who organised the this 606 shoe installation.
Yeah, and the whole Yes We Care campaign has been about engaging all the political parties to put on the record what their health policies are, and more specifically what their mental health policies are as well. But raising awareness, and today obviously is World Suicide Prevention Day, September 10th. So it was obviously timed for that as well, but it was actually an incredibly moving day. It was, unlike up here in Auckland, it was beautiful sunshine. And there was just an incredibly wide range of people, whānau. The bikers for suicide prevention were there. They turned up with their roaring Harleys at some point for a
That's
bit of drama.
Cool.
And myself and Mike King and the people from Action Station were there representing the People's Mental Health Review. And obviously Mike, thought it was an important day for him to be there as well. So we all sort of all fronted up, and really we were there to listen to the stories of the families. Every pair of shoes has a family and a community behind it. And I have to say, the one that really got me going today was in this field of 606 shoes. For people who've been to Parliament grounds, if you're standing looking at the beehive by the main statue there, there's a field of grass to your right. That entire field of grass was covered with shoes.
It's a lot of people.
It really strikes home when you see them laid out like that. And you look across this green field with this pairs of shoes and jandals, and there's a wheelchair sitting in the middle of it. And so, you know, it was just incredibly moving. And the person whose family member was in that wheelchair spoke today too. So, yeah, look, a tremendously moving and heartfelt day. And, you know, it wasn't about politics, but the Labour Party did today commit to something that we've been asking all parties to commit to for some time, which is an independent review and zero suicide. So that was really heartening.
Now, the interesting thing is it's just on a year now that we had the People's Mental Health Review as we're doing this. So this is when you actually, I remember, I think I was here with you. You actually announced it on the show we're starting this mental health review. And essentially, if you're listening, listeners, if you haven't heard about this before, the idea was that people shared their stories of being in the mental health system. And that could be as a patient, it could be as a mental health worker. And it was just to say, look, if you all collectively can give us, you know, a collection of stories, then we can probably get a picture of whether or not the system's working. And it became very clear that it wasn't. And in doing that, we, you know, the idea came out that there needs to be a review of the system, and that a zero target of suicide needs to very much be the modus operandi, the idea. Now, National, on the other hand, have been very cold to even have any kind of target, but they have actually softened. So just in the spirit of fairness here, mm-hmm. they have actually softened, and they've started to come to saying they could lower it by 20%. Was that right?
They've hinted at that number. What Minister Coleman has actually said on the record is that his thinking has shifted, and they are prepared to look at it again after the election.
So here's the thing. Suicide prevention, as it is World Suicide Prevention Day, and also too, a better understanding of our mental health issues, is a very real political issue at this election. And Kyle, it has to be said that due to Action Station, Mike's work, endless work, your endless work, it has now actually come down to the point where the leader of the opposition party that is actually polling higher than any other party currently has put this front and centre.
Yeah, they have.
And that's in 1 year. So, you know, that is an incredible achievement for all the work and all the people and everyone who shared their story and everyone who's connected to those 606 pairs of shoes. You know, it's a real groundswell, and it's not – what I love most about this is it's not about how much tax am I going to get back, what's my incentive. This is the cross-political incentive that all we want to do is look after each other a little bit better than we have been.
And I don't think that anybody could have stood in front of Parliament buildings today and listened to the stories from grieving families, grieving husbands, grieving wives, and reached any different conclusion.
So, hey, listeners, what do you reckon? How do you feel about this? Is this something that you think is going to be a game changer? I mean, does this make you want to get out and go and do your early voting tomorrow and say, yeah, let's do this? So, I mean, I'd like to get your feedback on it. Does it feel heartening? If you're somebody out there that has used mental health services, does it make you feel any better that you're being given quite a lot of attention at the moment, that this has actually become an issue, that this is now your time? And if so, what would you like to see happen? What are some of the other things? Now, we've talked about the target zero, and I think everyone can agree that's a really great target to have.
Yep.
And in fact, I've been reading some of the research around this. It's known that this actually really helps, that, you know, if you actually start thinking, maybe I can fly to the moon, that there's a good chance that you might just do it. So it's not an unrealistic thing. And it's...
No, it's not. And the parallel that's often drawn is the parallel with drink driving. If you have a zero tolerance for drink driving and you create a culture change, and the ads even that are on TV at the moment are a good example of that. You know, legends don't let mates drive drunk and all that sort of thing. You create an expectation, then that behaviour isn't acceptable. And that sets a culture. So with the zero suicide thinking, that if every single club, community, school, whānau, iwi, classroom says we're not going to let anybody get to a place where they feel that that's an option, then everybody rallies their resources at a micro level as well as at a governmental level.
So, listeners, give us a call. 0800 80 10 80 is the number. What else would you like to see happen? Now, if you've been in the mental health system, or you've got friends or family that have been in the mental health system, what is it that you would like to see happen? Now, that they've said that they'll initiate a review, and it may very well be that you get an opportunity to submit this to the government, but this is the time now.
Well, that was actually the other really encouraging thing that I heard today was, you know, in technical terms, what we're talking about is that Labor has promised a ministerial inquiry, which is a formal process, to commence within the first 100 days. But what Jacinda actually said on the steps of Parliament today to the crowd and to the families was, your voices will be heard as part of that process. She gave that commitment that mental health consumers and families and grieving families' voices will be heard.
For 8 years, this show, in one way or another, The Nutters Club has existed. This has been the place where a lot of your voices started, and now 8 years later, it is one of the major issues at this election. We want to hear your stories tonight. We're actually going to send a copy of this to all of the campaign managers for all of the major parties. We actually do have their contact details. They actually talked with Kyle and with Mike King today. They've listened to them. You've actually got their ears. This isn't about us. This isn't about my story. It isn't about Kyle's story. We're just the ones passing it on. So if you've got something you want to say, trust me, they're listening. 0800 80 10 80 will take your calls after the break.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the show. Let's go straight to the lines. Good evening, Dee.
Oh, hi. Yes, I'm just calling with regard to the issue of mental health and, in particular, suicide.
Yep, so suicide prevention, Dee, what do we want to see happen? Where do we need more support? What do you think?
I think absolutely in areas such as cognitive treatment and the area of just dishing out drugs to people who are suffering from either depression or anxiety, and often the drugs they're given have side effects such as tending towards suicidal tendencies, is something that should be very carefully looked at. And I hear what the parties are saying, such as Labor. I admire that, if they can pull that through. But I just wonder how and where the funding will come from, because cognitive therapy does not come cheaply. But I think it is one of the most important things that people should be given.
Is that something you've experienced yourself as being helpful, or people that you know?
People that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly more than one. And, you know, ordinary counselling, where they're just sent off to a counsellor who basically asks them questions, writes down notes, and says, I'll see you next week. That does not solve the problem. These people need to know what their trigger points are. They need to know how to handle them, deal with them. And they also need to have the assurance that they are not people who are going crazy or something, and so therefore just need to sit down and talk to a counsellor. They need to know that they've suffered various things emotionally, mentally, whatever, and they need, and that to me is where this is what's lacking in the treatment that I see being handed out, is cognitive therapy, which teaches these people how to recognize what's happening with them, how to recognize their trigger points, and then how to start to learn to deal with them. And I have found out there are a couple of places now, some rehabilitation centers that are using this and are having great results from that. But it's not easily available to people who just happen to sort of go into that stage of their life and then they just passed on to mental health and they just basically told, well, you know, you can have counselling, and the counselling doesn't work.
Okay, so what you're saying then, Dee, is that, you know, it's all good and fine to say, yeah, we'll throw some more resources at mental health, but we've got to be very careful about making sure we get the right kind of help in there in the first place.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Dee, thank you for your call.
It's my pleasure, and well done to all of you, because it's such an important part of all of our lives and the people we live with.
Oh, thank you very much, Dee. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
Take care. I'll just read a couple of texts. I've definitely got you going on the text machine, and I quite like this because, you know what, I want to make it really clear that When it comes to these kind of conversations that we're having tonight, there is no fear or favour for any political party coming from behind this microphone. All I want to see is good results coming in the area of mental health. I don't actually care who delivers that. What I do care about is when people put their name to it and say they'll do it. And some of you have agreed with me. Chris texted in here and said, Labour, another review. Yeah, that'll help. I think he's been a bit sarcastic there, but I get what he's saying. You know, he's saying just because you do a review, does that necessarily mean anything's going to happen? I mean, what do you envisage the review will allow or see happen, Kyle?
Well, it's interesting because there's been some there's been a bit of media attention this week around whether or not we do need actually another review.
And, it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a fair question. And Barbara Disley, who I've worked with in the past, who's a very learned woman, she's one of the first mental health commissioners in New Zealand, has come out and said she doesn't think there needs to be a review, but there absolutely needs to be the reinstatement of an independent oversight body like the Mental Health Commission with fully independent commissioners.
Gotcha.
Which was one of the reviews, People's Mental Health Reviews Recommendations. I think the thing is about a review is people think, when they hear review, they think, months, years,
bureaucrats,
paperwork,
sitting there doing nothing,
issuing a report which gets filed on a shelf and nothing happens. So obviously the spirit in which a review is entered into and a clear commitment to abide by its recommendations is really important. But actually the problem is now is that we still don't have a consensus. So there are still different voices within the industry and within the mental health sector that don't completely agree on what needs to happen. I would see a review as a way to get all the parties, bodies and various other interested experts, and most importantly, consumers and their families at the table, put all of the plans that have so far been generated and hammer out a way forward. I don't think we need to start from scratch. We've got tons of stuff to work on.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just about gaining a consensus and getting a political buy-in, because at the end of the day, if the party that's in charge isn't prepared to underwrite whatever plan has come up with, then it will end up on a shelf with dust on it.
Okay, fair enough. Other one said here, this is a hard task for the Labor Party, especially after seeing a program on TV on bullying in the workplaces, farming, rest homes, etc., from Kathy. So I guess Kathy's just saying that, in her opinion, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yep.
Another one says here that farmer groups are already setting up support for farmers for the expected suicides as a result of Labor's punitive water taxes. Ardern hasn't got a clue. And, you know, again, they have talked about this water tax. I mean, and farmers with the water. I mean, I was just driving through Canterbury last weekend. The amount of irrigation systems that I see sitting there, it's going to hit them really hard. So is that part of the thing that we have to take into effect? How do policies affect the mental health of us, the constituents?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. I won't for one second pretend to be a rural mental health expert, but what I do know is that we did actually have a few submissions to the People's Mental Health Review, and in broad strokes, the problems of treatment were similar in terms of access. So to me, it seems that we can, at the very least, make sure that everybody, no matter where they live in New Zealand, can get access to good services.
Another one here says, Jacinda is just saying things to get votes. Let's actually see what happens if she gets in. This is a very good point.
Yeah.
You know, we can only take these people at their word. And quite honestly, actions will speak louder than words. And I think with this government, this proposed government, should they come in, and I'm saying the Labour-led opposition government, should they come in, there'll be a lot of eyes to see actually what they do. And they will have to actually deliver very, very quickly to get buy-in from people. Otherwise, it will be a very, very short 3 years for them.
They will. And here's a commitment that I'll give to that texter and to all of the listeners. The Nutters Club ain't going nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
So no matter who is in charge after September 23rd, we're going to keep saying the same stuff no matter what colour flag is in Parliament.
And this has got to be my favourite one. Sounds to me like you're a Labour Party advert. Well, that would suppose that we're being paid by them, and I haven't got my cheque yet. Have you got yours?
I haven't cashed it.
Oh, well, let's listen to some real adverts then. We'll play them to you now just so you know what they actually sound like. When we come back, we'll come back to your calls.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Good evening, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty bad tonight, actually, guys.
What's happening in your world?
Okay. I've just got 3 points I'd like to make.
Go for it.
I have attempted suicide twice. Once nearly made it, not quite.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, Christine.
Well,
if there's one thing I love people failing at, it's suicide. Because I need you, okay? I need you to be able to call me up and talk. Yeah,
really?
I do. No, I do. Because, Christine, here's the thing. From a completely selfish point of view, if people keep offing themselves, I'm not going to have any callers. And that's the end of Talkback Radio. Done.
Well, what I would like to say is that I do overdose, not to die always, but just to get away from the pain of my life. And I know that I could very easily ring the CAT team number.
Why aren't you? What's stopping you from doing it?
Okay, yeah, exactly. What is stopping me is this. The question will be, are you thinking about suicide? 9 times out of 10, the answer to that is yes. If I say yes, they will have the police around here. Before I know it, more than likely I'd be in Henry Bennett in Hamilton. That is the very reason I tell nobody. I've been in Henry Bennett a few times. I thought when I was there that I would get counselling, that I would get some sort of help, but you don't. It's just like a holding pen. It's like you're given a room and a bed, and that's it.
So, Christine, what I'm hearing from you is that you're screaming out for help, but the help that you're getting the help that people are trying to give you is not the kind that you need.
I really. I don't think anybody wants the type of help that we're being given.
Fair point.
To be put in a building with a pool table and a TV and nurses rushing around doing lots of paperwork, that's it. That's Henry Bennett for you.
What would you rather have, Christine? Like, just say best world, what would you like?
Something more friendly. Before Henry Bennett, there was Ward 29, which was an old house. And I desperately want to go somewhere and be looked after. You know, I just want somebody to care and to look after me and to say, come on, let's go and have a coffee. Let's go and walk in the garden, have a bit of a chat. You know, to go to Henry Bennett, and it's just a big void. It's a nothing. And that's why I never ring. I never ring them anymore. The second thing is that I do see my provincial mental health team. They can't do anything because they are really just sort of a crisis centre. I see the guy there about every couple of weeks. He's lovely. I could tell him that I don't want to live, et cetera, et cetera. But it makes no difference at all. I still walk out those doors at the end of the session. I say, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't want this world. And I still walk out those doors. And I can I have empathy with the many, many people that you read about in the newspapers every day where they sought help and they couldn't get it. And I know exactly where they've been. I sought help. I'll have to tell you, I have borderline personality disorder, and it was under control. When my husband left me in 2015, 6 months later, I noticed a symptom reoccurring, and I thought, I've got to get onto this right now. And I hit the phones, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And a few months later, I was finally told, no, we can't accept you into the DBT therapy group. It's a waiting list of 12 months.
Okay, so we need to get things like a waiting list down. So, I mean, again, this is what we're coming back to, Christine. So, okay,
yes.
Different approaches to care, as in you are dealing with people. Do not treat them like numbers. They are people. And also,
come and talk to us. And why aren't there counsellors at Henry Bennett or any of the other places around the country?
It's a great question.
You know?
I'm old enough now to remember when, and I spent a bit of time in the psychiatric units here in Auckland, when actually nurses and care workers on the wards actually had enough time to be able to go and sit outside and have a cup of tea while someone had a smoke and had a chat.
That's right.
Build those relationships. And I think, sadly, talking to a lot of nurses, and I know talking to the nurses union and the PSA who represent the staff in those units, what they hear is they're leaving jobs because they don't have time to do that work anymore. They're expected to fill out a million forms. They have more patients than they should be handling on the floor, and they don't have time for that cup of tea anymore. And that, to me, is such a tragedy, because that's, it's not complicated. People need.
And if I could just add one last thing.
Go for it, Christine.
When all this money that's being promised by whichever government is, you know, they're going to have their reviews, they're going to have their doctors, their nurses, they're going to have the parents, etc., who have been affected. I hope they have somebody like me there who's been there, you know.
Here's the thing, Christine. When they have these reviews, they actually do have an opportunity for public submissions. And what I would say to you is, regardless of who wins the election, whatever goes on, get your public submission ready. And when you're at a point where you actually want to write down some of the things that you've told us tonight about Henry Bennett and about being on that waiting list, don't wait. This is my advice to you, Christine. Don't wait. Start, you know, when you're in a good place, because, you know, you told me you're not feeling great at the moment, but you're in a place where you feel like you can give some energy to it, write these things down and put it somewhere safe, okay? I don't care if it's on a computer or just, you know, handwritten, but put it somewhere safe, and then when the time comes, come out, because you know what? You are more than entitled to have your voice heard. And remember, the elected members of this country, they actually work for you, not the other way around.
Yes.
They work for you, okay?
Yep.
So, look, be heartened that actually there is a political party or parties out there that really do want to see things happen in this realm. So that would be my advice to you. And all I can say is that I hope that the week that you're about to have will be better than the one that you have had.
Thank you so much for listening.
It's all right, Christine. Good on you. Stay strong.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, just read a couple of texts. How much will the review cost? Also, remember, Helen Clark's husband was paid with some sort of review during Labor's time. I don't actually know anything about what he was involved with.
No.
Anyway, bit of a moot point. It was a wee while ago now, wasn't it? It's 9 years ago. Even then, more than that. Anyway, and then this lovely one, have turned your blatant political views off. Cheers, Ken. You're welcome, Ken. Back after the break.
Nutters Club, now on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the show. Here we go. We haven't talked to any blokes tonight. Hey, John, can you just turn your radio off in the background there?
It is off, mate. I'm on fibre. It has the echo.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I'll work through it. Hey, John, mental health services, what do you want to see more of?
Well, I've been asking for CBT for 6 years, and I get the same response every time. It's not in our budget.
What's not in their budget?
CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy.
Right, and that's what Dee was talking to us about before.
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be a shift away from this medication is the only answer.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, you know, one of the clear stories that we just hear time and time again is it's about treatment choice. So whichever angle you come at it from, obviously, I'm going to completely agree with you. There should be more therapy availability, but actually it's about someone being able to walk through the door and be provided with a menu of treatment options, because we know there are lots of different things that work for different people in mental health.
Yeah, and as for some of the medications that they prescribe, I was horrified when the medication that they put me on quite literally grew me a pair of tits.
That's no good.
Was that risperidone?
Risperidone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be withdrawn as far as I'm concerned. That was mind-bending for me.
Yeah, that must have been awful.
How long ago was that, John?
18 months ago.
And when you expressed your displeasure at this, was there any other options given to you?
At first, no. He had the blood test, which proved that my estrogen levels were through the roof.
Yeah.
And he just kept ignoring it. The comment I made to him was, I can't repeat it on air, but I went down there, lifted my shirt and said, you know, how would you a pair of these? And that's when he finally started to listen.
Mm.
It shouldn't have got to that point.
No, it shouldn't
have. No way should it have got to that point.
Because there are other options. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So more cognitive treatment then, John. You're well in agreement with Dee on that one.
Definitely. And a shift away from medication is the only answer.
Okay. That's first-hand experience that unfortunately you've had to go through. So I'm sorry to hear that, but I think that what you've actually said there is important for us just to, you know, clock up with everybody else's feedback.
Thank you.
Good on you. Cheers, John.
Bye.
That's bloody awful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, without question, the biggest complaint about all psychiatric medications is the side effects. And if people out there are experiencing side effects, I'd just really encourage them to keep talking to their prescriber, because in most instances, there are other medications that you can try.
Fair enough. Let's go next caller. Trish, good evening.
Good evening.
How's things down south?
Yeah, it could be better, to be honest with you, but yeah, no, pretty good otherwise.
What's happening tonight, Trish? How are you feeling?
Well, I'm actually feeling quite hacked off, to be honest. Becca, I'll just tell you a wee bit of an outline of what my story is, and then I'll tell you what I think. My sister in March came to me and asked me for help, and I took her to Waikare in Dunedin to get help down to EPS. They had her there for a couple of days and they were ready to send her home, and she wasn't ready. I mean, she was doing things like tying a rope around her clothesline, around her throat, and threatening to jump in front of her children because she wasn't dealing with things. And I explained that all to them. Anyway, 3 days later, she took off, and we found her, the police found her. I had to actually stop her from physically getting herself run over by a bus. Now, when she left Waikare, she had left suicide notes in the sign-out book, left them all over her bed, and the police said to them, please watch her until we can get her sectioned into a lockdown unit. An hour later, I get a phone call from my mother, who was, absolutely devastated, because she got a phone call from Waikare to say that my sister attempted to hang herself. She was on a breathing machine in the ICU for a while, and they rang Waikare to get an idea of how long she'd been hanging there, and nobody had a clue because nobody watched her. So I've been fighting my ass off every day since to make complaints and to get justice for her and other people, because it cannot continue. So I think a lot to do with staff training, a lot to do with funding, and a lot to do with the bigwigs up there, because, like, I've had bigwigs telling me through the commissioner and everything, you know, oh, we're going to contact you, and nobody ever does.
Yeah, that's really disappointing, isn't it? That you're struggling to get a response with a situation that so clearly sounds like multiple things went wrong.
A whole lot of things went wrong, and unfortunately she now has a brain injury.
Oh,
but because she's got mental health, the place called ISIS that's meant to have looked after her and given her rehabilitation didn't want a bar of her. She was left in a lockdown unit with all these other people that weren't, you know, the police were going up there all the time and they were fist fighting each other, and she shouldn't have been in there. And after months, I asked the doctor in that particular area who was protecting her brain injury, and he said no one.
Right.
And it is just so full on. I mean, it's been horrendous on the whole family. I mean, it's damaged us all in a way. And, you know, the other thing is there's a lot of organisations out there to help the person that it's happened to, but not the family. I had to basically be somebody that knows nothing to find as many organisations as possible. And for the family, there's only one here called ABLE.
Yeah,
and they're there to support the family, but there's nothing else.
Yeah, sadly, I know from my my colleagues that have been on the road with the Yes We Care campaign with the families affected by suicide, you know, that one of the things that, that's really come clear out of that is exactly what you're saying, that for people who have someone who they've lost to suicide or to an attempt, there is zero support.
Yeah. So you want to just see more accountability in the mental health system, as well as support for families, that the mental health, the behaviour and what happens in that and the way it impacts them?
Most definitely, especially here, because actually I drew a short story and I ended up biting the bullet and trying to contact Mike King.
Yep.
And he was so amazing. He rang me back and listened to my story. He asked me where I was from. I said Dunedin. And he told me straight, I'm not going to say the words of yours, but he said I was stuffed. Because I'm in Dunedin, I'm absolutely stuffed. There's nothing that can be done, because apparently Dunedin's got the worst mental health system in New Zealand.
Well, that needs to change. Because, you know, we need to protect people like your sister who needed the help. And we've also got to support people like you that are actually there to be able to help the family and actually try and do the right thing, because that's exactly what you've done, Trish. You've done everything right. You just didn't get what you needed on the other end.
Because the thing that I would like to point out to other families that may have this problem, if your person doesn't have a will and they have a brain injury, it is very hard to get anyone to talk to you. So I found out through a free law society here that I could get a thing called welfare guardianship and property manager. I got that, and now they have to tell me everything. If I ask them questions, they have to answer me, because now I'm legally in charge.
Good on you, Trish. That's a really good move on your part.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, thank you for your call. I hope things pan out for you there, but good on you for being active. You know, you've
taken. I'm not going to give up my fight. Never.
No, good on you. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep fighting, Trish.
I will.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Marilyn.
Nutters Club, now on News Talk ZB.
Marilyn, good evening.
Good evening. I spoke to you last week.
I remember it well. How are you?
Not too bad. First of all, yeah, I had a breakdown. Nobody wanted to know. My doctor didn't want to know. My family didn't want to know. So I made a decision. I was going to get better. So this is for all your listeners out there. You are good people. You're not mad. You're not clinically awful. You're loved. So take this time now you're hurting to start healing. Don't be condemned. Take this time to be comfort. At this time, be your own best friend, because you deserve it. When you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's not a train running you over. It's someone holding a lantern so you can see your way out of it. When you come out of it, you too will hold a lantern for somebody else. I believe in you. I care for you. I'm only sorry I can't dry your tears, but I'm here for you. Take my love wherever you are, and whatever you're feeling right now, take my peace.
You are a wonderful person, Marilyn.
Thank you.
No, you really are. And I know because Kyle wasn't here last week, so I'll just fill Kyle in while I've got you on the phone here, Marilyn. Marilyn's been through some pretty tough times in her life, but she's overcome immense
hurdles, shall we say. Sorry, Marilyn, we're sort of talking, we're talking about you, not to you. But the point is that Marilyn now actually helps people that are going through tough times, and she volunteers her own time. And I would hazard a guess, Marilyn, that you've said those words to people before.
I have.
And I would hazard a guess that you know that they are very effective and they're very comforting words and they do help people.
What I've started in the last 4 months is I've got 3 friends that have been let down by the mental health system. So I invite them to my place. We sit down and we just talk it out. There's no, you can't say that. You just talk what you're feeling there and then. And afterwards, we have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And afterwards, we give each other a hug. We exchange phone numbers and say, anytime you need me, you phone me. And if you don't get me, leave a message on the answer phone. I promise you I will get back to you as soon as I receive the message. And sometimes it's 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes it's later, sometimes it's earlier. Sometimes I have to go and help my friend who's dying of cancer, so I spend time with him. To me, this is what my life is about, because I honestly feel no matter how hard it has been, if I can give someone a handout, a hand up, if I can encourage them to take one more step, it's worth it, Hamish.
I'll tell you what, Marilyn, you're that person holding the lantern at the end of that tunnel. That's who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you take care. Always love talking to you.
Beautiful words.
And thank you for your encouragement.
Keep doing what you do, Marilyn. We need more like you.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. That's Marilyn, Kyle. Missed out on her last week. I'll tell you about it in an ad break. Take an ad break. When we come back, I'll try and rustle up a... Oh, no, I don't have an ad break. Sorry there, listeners. We're just sorting out. It's the end of the week.
It's nearly midnight, for goodness sakes.
Okay, I'm not going to take any more callers now because I won't have long enough to talk to you. But I would like your calls. I've got a couple of callers there, but if you want to get in on the conversation, we would love you to. Really loving hearing tonight what you would like to see happen if there is to be a review as a promising and highly polling potential new government is proposing. So get your calls in, 0800 80 10 80. What are the most important things to see? Me and Kyle will be back tomorrow, which is in about 5 minutes. Until then, here's a bit of music and news, weather and sport coming up.
This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.